The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Make a Deal with the Devil Wednesday edition. Rolling into the happy hour. Dom, you make a deal with the devil each and every day, don't you?
If I'm going to make a deal, there's got to be an upside, man. What are we dealing on?
Well, your soul, if you had one.
There's no such thing.
You don't believe in the whole soul. Well, you know, that's a valuable commodity you could sell off to the devil if, you know, you were in great financial need, let's say, like the former president. We'll get
I need
there.
$454 million for my soul, plus $110,000 interest a day.
Dom, real quick, I want to throw this headline out to start the 5 o'clock hour. Washington Post reporting on some local news here in the state of Wisconsin. Former Milwaukee election official convicted of absentee ballot fraud. Now, this trial concluded today. Kimberly Zapata, the city's former deputy elections director, was tried in an unusual case that pitted a self-proclaimed whistleblower against the election conspiracy theorist. It's crazy up here, I'm telling you. Dateline Madison, a jury convicted a former Milwaukee election official of absentee ballot fraud and misconduct in office today in an unusual case that pitted the self-proclaimed whistleblower against election conspiracy theorist. Kimberly Zapata, 47, served as Milwaukee's deputy elections director in 2022 when baseless claims about elections circulated amongst Republicans, including the state legislature. Zapata has said the focus by some lawmakers in this critical swing state on meritless issues frustrated her, and she wanted to alert them to what she viewed as the true vulnerability in Wisconsin's voting system. To do that, she said, she generated 3 ballots under the names of fictitious military members and sent them to one of the legislature's leading election deniers. Your girl, alleged felon, Janelle Branchen, Dom.
Janelle Branchen, who apparently illegally coordinated payments over the election limits for the opponent of Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Well, let's not confuse the audience about the many alleged felonies of Assembly Rep. Janelle Branchen.
There's so many.
Dominic, no illegal votes were cast, and the lawmaker promptly reported the ballots to authorities. She did the right thing in that circumstance, apparently, Dom. Zapata soon afterwards was fired and charged with a felony count of misconduct in office and 3 misdemeanor counts of absentee ballot fraud. A jury in Milwaukee County today convicted Zapata after hearing 2 days of testimony. She faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a $13,000 fine, Dom.
That seems like a deterrent for those who might want to consider doing something like that in the future.
Here is a statement she did make. I understand what I did was wrong, and I understand that I need consequences for it, she said in that interview with the Washington Post. But at the same time, I did this for the greater good. I did this for American voters to believe in the election system again. I committed a felony for God and country, Dom.
I mean, it's a common theme these days. I mean, Trump says it every time he's at a rally.
Well, here's if there is a saving grace, and there's not a lot in this story, Dom. But if there is a saving grace, Zapata described herself as a swing voter and said she did not consider herself a Republican or a Democrat, just sort of a down-the-middle Yahoo, Dom.
A down-the-middle Yahoo. There was some additional reporting, and I don't have it in front of me. See if I can find it. It's something to the regard that the issue going on, as Patrick Meyerly of the Washington Post refers to, all this conspiracy going on, and in Zapata's mind, that this was an actual real one. And I got the impression that her boss...
A real vulnerability in the voting system. Military voters can vote without ID and without effectively, you know, proving the normal stuff you would have to prove. So she saw this as the vulnerability, and she got fictitious military ballots, if you'll recall. Sorry to interrupt, Don.
Oh, and thank you for that. And then sent them to Janelle Brangin, who was one of the loudest voices on this issue and continues to be so. Let's see. The Journal Sentinel also, of course, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting on this issue. I'm trying to find the actual quotes from her boss. I guess I don't have it in front of me. But essentially that it didn't seem to me like Zapata, now convicted of this crime, was doing it in the sense to support the issues of and cause of people like Janelle Brangin and former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Gableman and Voss and all the others who think that somehow this was stolen. My impression was that even according to the supervisor, this was more of an issue of showing the vulnerability, as explained in court, and not a part of trying to engage with and support Janelle Brangin. Not that it matters.
Dom, I would point out, okay, three ballots sent fictitiously in false military people's names. But, you know, and the reporting here, I'm going to read a little more of the reporting. Election officials have downplayed the incident, saying they would quickly discover any instances in which large numbers of fictitious ballots were created. They have said the charges against Zapata show that such schemes don't work. And don't forget, she's not the only one that's perpetrated something like this. Don, there's your buddy, Harry Waite. Zapata created the ballots under fake names 4 months after Wisconsin conservative activist Harry Waite made online requests to have ballots meant for other people sent to his home. Waite, who has been charged with 2 felonies and 2 misdemeanors, has said he was trying to expose what he considers flaws in how the state allows voters to apply for absentee ballots.
It's so easy to rob the bank. I'm just going to go do it and show you guys. It's terrible.
Well, didn't he request ballots in the name of like Robin Voss and Corey Mason? Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason. So
I found what I was looking for on here. Folks, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. Wisconsin in the national news. That's rarely a good thing. If it's about sports, it's usually good. Otherwise, it's usually bad governance or serial killers. But according to WPR, Claire Woodall.
Which one are you?
I'm all about the sports, man. I'm all about the love. Claire Woodall, the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, was Zapata's former boss. She testified on Tuesday that her office was facing threats of violence from people who falsely believed the 2020 presidential election was rigged. I don't know why they ever got that idea. She, referring to Zapata, was trying to highlight to the conspirators what a real potential security concern would be surrounding the My Vote website and the ability to create fake people and request absentee ballots on their behalf and have them mailed or emailed anywhere, Woodall told the jury. Fake military ballots were requested through the My Vote Wisconsin website from Zapata's work laptop on the morning of October 25, 2020, and were mailed by clerks in the Menominee Falls, Sherwood, and South Milwaukee. Zapata used her municipal login credentials to access the My Vote Wisconsin database to find Brangin's home address, according to the criminal complaint. Woodall, again, the boss, said Rep. Janelle Brangin had made several public records requests to her office and caused a lot of additional stress and work for the things that are rooted in conspiracy theories. She, referring to Zapata, the convicted one, knew who she was sending ballots to and the politics of that person. Woodall said about Zapata's actions, which she also called naive. A final quote, she was frustrated that people like Representative Branchon continued to focus on what they consider election fraud issues that aren't real and that this is a real potential security issue she wanted to bring to her, being Branchon's, attention. I mean, you could have picked up the phone and called her. I'm not sure you had to go through the process and prove it. But even so, I just want to think about this for a minute. So I send, Michael Crudy Johnson's fake name, get a ballot. I'm going to go use that ballot. How am I going to show my ID with Michael Crudy Johnson?
Well, as a military, you would not have to prove it. You would just mail it back in.
Mail it in.
That's the loophole, the vulnerability she was trying to expose. But of course, there is a known number of military active duty from Wisconsin at any given time. And if these massive fictitious votes under fraudulent names started rolling in, because again, she used fictitious names.
Right.
When you go to show up to vote, maybe I'm wrong, Don, but seemingly you would have to have someone on the Wisconsin voter rolls.
That have to be registered to vote.
Yes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the exposed vulnerability, but you know what? You're not going to let military people in overseas theaters vote. I mean, I've heard conservatives are willing to sacrifice their votes as well. Make it easier to vote, but not for military people or young people. I talked about Cleta Mitchell earlier today. She took such objection to the young people. Do you know she's being almost entirely funded by the Bradley Foundation?
Oh, yeah. I drive by that building every day.
When I used to drive by that building almost every day, I didn't know what that building was. I kind of stopped and peed on it.
That's wrong.
Marking territory and all.
It's not like they put a big sign that says Bradley Foundation. We fund, conspiracy theories and Republicans who, distribute Russian disinformation. That's a little too big for the sign, so they didn't put one up.
If you missed the earlier coverage, I read extensively from a piece, Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Bruce Murphy's got a piece about the Bradley Foundation. Yeah. Or find it on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. You should like us there. At least a follow. Doesn't cost you nothing. And you can always text This Big Show, 844-967-2789, or use that shiny Civic Media app. I told the people earlier, they're having a big contest around here. Lots and lots of people entered. But you got to do it through the shiny Civic Media app. You can text directly to the show. Don't even have to dial the digits. Just push the little icon.
So cool.
I'm cooler than you, though. I declare it. More Devils. Thumb War. 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Radio School. Love it. Join us on the party line, the political party at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I know you keep texting me. You must have some urgent news you'd like to share with the audience.
This is more of a
I'll play the game. What is it, Dom?
Yesterday's conversation. Apparently Donald Trump has until Monday, Crudy. I told you yesterday, Monday. He has till Monday, the 25th, to come up with the money. Not the end of the month. Don't give him an extra week. He doesn't get an extra week. He has until Monday, at least as of right now. And as of right now, CNN is reporting that former President Trump is in panic mode, pure panic mode, Crudy, as the deadline approaches to secure the $500 million. Of course, they acknowledged yesterday on Monday that he having trouble trying to find a company to underwrite the $454 million bond. Apparently, privately, Trump had been counting on Chubb, which underwrote the $91.6 million bond to cover the E.G.
The unfortunately named Chubb Insurance Company, Chubb.
But apparently, the insurance giant informed his attorneys in the past several days that they're funding him. That option, it was off the table. And Trump went nuts and did all his texting and, his tweeting and his posting and yada, yada, yada.
Trump's already denying this reporting at CNN. Called it BS.
But according to ABC News, New York Attorney General Tish James, she's pushing back on Trump's extraordinary request to stay the civil judgment. And here's a quote. from the Senior Assistant Solicitor General, Dennis Pham. There is nothing unusual about even billion-dollar judgments being fully bonded on appeal. Defendants object to a possible fire sale if they were to sell assets to generate cash to use as collateral for bond or as a deposit, but the alternative would be to shift the risk of executing the defendant's illiquid assets to the OAG. I mean, and let me just pause for just a minute. I mean, if you're going to make the state sell it, you know, it's going to go cheap because they're not going to sit around and negotiate, right? Hey, here it is. Here's our price. You want it? Okay, we'll take that offer. I mean, that's just asinine, but I digress. From the ABC News reporting, of course, earlier this week, Trump's lawyers argued that he was unable to secure the bond, having been rejected by over 30 insurance companies due to its size and his need to post properties as collateral. The AG argued that the former president has failed to demonstrate his efforts to secure bond using properties as collateral, suggesting the issue is a product of Trump's doing because his holdings are not nearly as valuable as defendants claim. Oh, ouch. That one's got to hurt. But it's got to be true because otherwise you get the money, right? Again, another quote. Defendants supply no documentary evidence that demonstrates precisely what real property they offered to sureties, on what terms the property was offered, or precisely why the sureties were unwilling to accept the assets. As far as the court can infer, sureties may have refused to accept defendant-specific holdings as collateral because Trump's real estate will generally need a property appraisal, and his holdings are not nearly as valuable as the defendants claim.
Well, he's got two notes from buddies, though. I mean, seriously, he's got two friends, one from the Trump org and right. another guy who used to work in the Trump administration at some place saying we won't lend him money. So he's got two notes, right? That's good. That's like an excused absence, right?
Tish James essentially went on to say, well, you know, listen, you can don't have to get all in one. You can get several $100 million individual sureties. And it's a great point. I mean, unless you know the details, hey, Trump, we'll give you the money, but you got to give us, you know, $150 on the 100, you know, the money line's $150. Well, no, he didn't want to do that. So we don't know what the negotiations were. We don't know how much they asked Donald Trump for. And maybe they offered, they had
a pound of flesh and the blood,
something on the table, but Trump declined to accept, you know, the harsh offer.
I got to think there's a Shylock in New York that would lend, but he'd have a lot of vig.
I mean, but good luck getting it back. That's, of course, that becomes the issue. So I don't, you know, if it's not going to be the traditional, then look for the non-traditional. And hell, what did the boys say in the golf magazine years ago? They get most of their money from Russia.
844-967-2789. If I can move my little mousey. Don from Milwaukee. Welcome, Don. What do you got for us?
Hi, Don. Good afternoon, fellas. Just a quick comment. This Robin Foss has got me puzzled. Didn't he just endorse a whack job for president? Have a good day, fellas.
Did I hear him? Don, I believe he did. Robin Foss?
He did. He mentioned Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who
called
voting for Trump a suicide mission not so long ago and yesterday endorsed him.
You know, I mentioned making a deal with the devil. Robin Voss, that is the deal that defines the name of today's show. Robin Voss making a deal with the devil that is Donald Trump. So anyways, he made the biggest deal with the devil, but Trump made a few. You would if you had a soul. I mentioned
getting in line.
844. Have third mortgage on Trump's soul. 844-967-2789.
Collecting that.
Chris from Rice Lake. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Depends on how this call goes, quite frankly.
What do you got, Chris?
Wow, I'm on the fence. That's pretty bad. Sorry about that. I'm sorry to hear about your son, Trudy. That's rough, I know. But let me tell you from experience, when I was a union representative down in Milwaukee, that when you go for Social Security, it's almost impossible to get it on your first or second or third try. I had to do a couple of depositions with lawyers to try to help people, and I mean, it is awful. It is just awful.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. He's got a lifelong disability. It shouldn't be that big a question. You know, there is school records and IQ test and the such. But, you know, he's a good kid. And ultimately, you know, he's got a loving family to support him and a damn good congressman on the case. We appreciate the constituent services from Mark Pocan's office.
Hey, Chris, and I appreciate the call, man, and your perspective. You know, should it be not difficult, but, you know, vetted. You know, there's a lot of folks that'd be very happy to take advantage of the system. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, I got a disability. My arm hurt. Whatever. You know, folks are out there like that. We'll do it. We'll game the system. Hell, some folks will all go out there and defraud Medicare for billions of dollars and then, you know, become a senator from Florida. But there are folks that will take advantage, Chris. Do you get a sense that that was some of the reasons for the delay, or what would you put it on?
I don't know if the Social Security Administration is gun shy or what, but when you have an employee that and you know that is you know obviously has like some kind of a mental issue going on, he's got a doctor, you know, several doctors that have examined him that said, yeah, this person is really, you know, shouldn't be working. He should be in some sort of a facility and being taken care of, and they get denied 3, 4, or 5 times. I mean, but you know, I've also heard stories where somebody that was working in the fire department that saw a cat on fire, they got Social Security immediately. You know, so I mean, it's just I don't get it. I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, for somebody that's so obvious, it should be simple. I mean, you shouldn't have to go out and get a lawyer and doctors and depositions and everything. But I mean, you know, now that I'm an employee of the federal government, let me tell you, I see craziness every single day. And
I see dead people, Chris. More devil's advocates.
Thanks, Chris.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The Make a Deal with the Devil's Wednesday edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it, Tom. Your phone calls, always valued here, especially when the phones are working. I think that's now 844-967-2789. Also, love me the texters, Tom. Some rather clever question here on the text line. Angie from Monroe asked, what about Trump's son-in-law? The very wealthy son-in-law, right, Jared Kushner? Why is offering help with this bond?
Well, he's too busy. He looked at the Gaza Strip and he said, you know, being in Miami and having that nice coast and the beach, you know, you could see some redevelopment there once they clean it all up.
Well, here's a similar text. Doesn't Jared Kushner have the money? Why doesn't he spot his daddy dearest-in-law? Daddy dearest. Well, maybe it's because the guy wants to sleep with his wife. 844-967-2789. You can text here or use that shiny Civic Media app. Others are asking, Putin and his boys, even though the Trump doesn't have $450 million in equity across the board, hell, they have their hands on his properties already. And one more, Pat from Watertown. I'll read Pat's. Pooty Putin is having a great time with the Trump meltdown over the board. I'm sure that Vlad Investment Group is more than willing to buy some real estate in the presidency. Money will mysteriously be wired on Monday. According to Pat in Watertown. I like your theory, Pat. There is some skepticism I'm seeing amongst the national legal eagles, you know, the MSNBC contributor sorts. Here's one I noted on the Raw Story, one of my favored aggregators. Andrew Weissman, the former senior professor at Robert Mueller's special prosecutor, pardon me, it's a little better than a professor in my opinion, on Robert Mueller's special counsel team, questioned the validity of Donald Trump's claim that he's broke. I don't question, but he apparently does, Tom. Filling in for Nicole Wallace on Wednesday, host Alicia Menendez said that something doesn't quite add up about Trump's latest claim that over 30 companies wouldn't bond him. Attorney General Letitia James questions whether the refusals are actually people saying they wouldn't bond him, or if Trump simply wasn't open to the terms outlined.
Right.
Weissman agreed that something fishy seemed fishy to him as well. Here's a quote, Dom. I'll try to get this one straight. This is something I was saying that just doesn't make any sense at all. Donald Trump was saying, I don't have enough cash. And with respect to the real property, there are companies not willing to take real property as collateral to give me a bond. The reason that Tish James is saying it doesn't make any sense is, one, fine, go ahead and post real property in court. The court can hang on to the property. Just post the real property if there's any equity in it.
Ah.
She said you can get a letter of credit from a company and you can have the real estate back that up. Trump confessed in a filing Monday night that four brokers he approached checked with 30-plus surety companies. They went so far as to list some of them in the footnote. Some of them, Dom. You know, if I was trying to convince the court, I might list all 30. And the broker's name and their home phone numbers, if necessary.
And the terms of the negotiation. Again, I mean, minor details, but, you know, the devil's in the details, right?
Weissman went on to say, all of us, whoever owns property, gets mortgages, he can do it all that. The real issue is he may be too leveraged, you think? He says he's worth so much, but all these properties are used to back loans from other institutions. He may not have all that much money, either cash on hand or property that isn't already pledged for other loans. The reason he's having trouble and might be having this meltdown is he can't post the money and he needs a lifeline through some third party that's going to be able to bail him out. Will there be a bailout, Tom? I ask you right now, what are the odds Trump makes bond between here and Monday? The Vlad Investment Company comes in, swoops in, and makes a cash offer on, let's say, Mar-a-Lago, Dom. That would certainly, you know, let some of the air out of the balloon, I suspect. That might be the most marketable property. And I know there was some appraisal for $18 million, but I understand it's probably worth $250 million. There are real estate equitable properties in Palm Beach that are selling in the $200+ million range.
Sure. I mean, if I'm understanding the Tish James, the attorney general from the state of New York, and their position was that he could just kind of offer them up as collateral to them, right? They could hold that. State of New York could hold it.
Well, I had not seen that prior. That was new news to me, Dom. Mortgage Boardwalk and Park Place and hand in all his houses and apartments.
Here's the keys, and if I lose, then you know, have at it. I think it's a small possibility. I mean, to have the scandal that it would be to have some Turkish or Saudi or Russian or Belarus, you know, pick your spot where Trump's been, you know, digging around, and have something like that come up and give the former president and current Republican frontrunner $500 million, you know, that there's no way that looks good. You know what I mean? It doesn't look good because he can't do it himself, which is going to, you know,
make him. Well, does it look worse if he doesn't produce the bond on Monday? I think it might.
I don't know. At least he can play the victim. He can play it off. This has never happened. You know how Trump will do it either way. So if he actually if he doesn't get legitimate money, quote unquote, and he took in some, third party lifeline, from some questionable sources, that's going to be bad. But it is Donald Trump, and I don't believe, you know, anything he says and nothing I see from him. So when he says he has no money, he has no access, then I think it's fair to question that. Now, some report in here on Wednesday, Lisa Rubin shared a list of Trump's liabilities that had been filed with the court in August, according to the Raw story. That court filing in August revealed that Trump Tower came with a debt of $50 million. In 2017, Forbes estimated the building to be worth about $371 million. And Forbes also reported about a $100 million mortgage was taken out in 2022. So if you're talking about, 150 leveraged against 371, that was back,
Well, and that could be a first and a second mortgage. Again, being a former lender many years ago in a former life, Dom, I can tell you nobody's taking third lien position.
Yeah, but if you have a property that's worth, call it $400 million, and you only have two mortgages on it for $150,000, your loan to value is way under a reasonable amount, even if you had to fire sale it.
Well, I'm less clear that that would be the case, Dom. I think there's about to be a crash in commercial real estate. I don't know if you know, but the pandemic has kind of changed the dichotomy of the workplace. And a lot of people, a lot of big companies, they don't need the high-rise office tower downtown anymore. And in fact, there are a lot of small and regional banks that are exposed on their real estate portfolios to skyscrapers, let's just say, by ne'er-do-wells, but guys like Donald Trump. And I got to think, if that was the peak value, this property has diminished in value. I think you're looking at a diminishing return in commercial real estate in New York currently. Whoever the seller is, it's not a great time to sell because nobody's a buyer.
No question.
Currently, the vacancy rates are over 13% in New York City in commercial real estate, going up with a bullet.
So even so,
that's quite high.
$371 million, and you have $150 million against it on a 2017 valuation. And presumably, there's got to be some cash flow. There's business behind it. Who knows how much of it is rented out? And I hear what you're saying. It is tough times in real estate. You can't get away from reporting about, you know, what they're saying is going to come to fruition once the note comes due. But either way, there's some equity there. There's something there. Maybe there's $50 million there. Maybe. If New York Attorney General is able to start enforcing her judgment as soon as next week, she doesn't expect Trump Tower to be top on her list. Why? Because as recently as August of 23, Trump reported that Axos Bank had an outstanding loan on the property over $50 million, as mentioned. Yes, this list of his liabilities from plus months ago, said Rubin. And there has been public reporting.
Hey, Dom, you're getting a little dropout.
That this discourse was signed by Trump himself.
I'm sorry, repeat that last part just for the audience's sake, because something happened there.
Once again, Lisa Rubin reporting on the Raw story that the list of liabilities that she refers to is from 6+ months ago, and there has been public reporting that certain loans have been refinanced, but don't sleep on the fact that this disclosure was signed by Trump himself, and he initialed each page. Of course, Trump famously declared himself the king of debt in the 2016 presidential race. He told CBS's Nora O'Donnell, "I'm great with debt. Nobody knows debt better than me. I made a fortune by using debt. And if things don't work out, I renegotiate the debt." I mean, that's a smart thing, not a stupid thing. Well, you got some debt now, Trump, that apparently you don't have a negotiating partner on the other side of that desk. You got the people of the state of New York who you defrauded to the tune of $500 million, and they want their money.
Dom, I don't know if you were aware, because you probably don't watch the commercial real estate market in New York as closely as maybe you used to, but Trump's most valuable New York City skyscraper has been on a lender watch list for about the last year. Let me give you a little bit of the bad news. The 40 Wall Street, that's one of his primo places, the 72-story building set off alarm bells for lenders who said the low leasing volume is accompanied by rising expenses in the building and the remaining mortgage balance of $126.5 million. They're at 18% vacancy rates, and their expenses are up 11% year over year. So the cost of operation going up as the vacancy rates go up rapidly, and Trump's quote-unquote most valuable property in New York, the 40 Wall Street building. Wall Street just has a nice ring to it. Trump might not have that nice neighborhood so much longer, Dom.
You know, that's not a great trend line. You're not going to be able to make that up on volume. 844-967-2789. Let's get Jack in from the Mac. Welcome, Jack. What do you got today?
Hey, Jack.
Good afternoon, guys. I've got two things. Thing one, I have a suggestion. These big jets that political candidates fly on, Trump supposedly owns that jet.
Trump Force One.
And then they're worth over $100 million. I think the first thing they ought to do is seize his jet and any other aircraft that he wants to fly around on. Let him take the bus to his campaign rally. The second thing I want to say is that regarding what was her name, Zapata, the
now convicted Wisconsin elections commissioner who got fake absentee ballots. Yes, please continue, Jack.
And then there was a guy from Racine also, I think, who did essentially the same thing. And they both did a wonderful, wonderful job of proving something. If you engage in election fraud, you get caught and you get prosecuted. And that proves, of course, our
election. But that's such a small-scale fraud compared to, and Jack, appreciate your contribution, but look at what the false electors were trying to do in the state of Wisconsin. Look at what the Trump campaign, the Cheese Bro, and the Jim Troupas, and the U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was trying to facilitate. This was a criminal conspiracy of the highest order. They were trying to overturn the will of Wisconsin's voters. When are they going to get prosecuted? We're worried about prosecuting some former elections official, and I'm not saying she shouldn't be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. She broke it. She knew she broke it. But what about these guys? And I'm looking at you, Bob Spindell, Andrew Hitt, Kelly Rowe. These are the highest officials of the Republican Party at the time, and there were no caveats, and you were a lawyer, Mr. Hitt, and despite your protestations on 60 Minutes, you knew what you were doing was illegal when you did it. I assert.
Yeah, but does Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call assert? That's the question.
If you're in the call, if you're in the car, Josh, listen to us. Prosecute the false electors. And call us, 844-967-2789. Love to hear from you, sir.
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, our last segment of the day. It's been so fun, but you can still join us, 844-967-2789. Never goodbye, it's just we'll see you tomorrow. Well, you call us, 844-96-PARTY, then stick around. Busted Pencils coming up next.
Dominic, Alina Haba, you know, the attorney, rather be pretty than smart, because you could fake smart, she claims. She less so, not great at faking smart. But the attorney for Donald Trump declined to say today if the former president has asked Saudi Arabia or Russia to pay his legal debts. During an interview on the Foxy News, host Martha McCallum asked Haba to respond to the glee among some after Trump failed to come up with the $464 million bond required to appeal a New York fraud ruling. In particular, host of ABC's The View said they couldn't wait to see the Trump Tower sale. Oh, we said it too, but apparently The View lady's more popular than us, Dom. They are the poster women for Trump derangement syndrome, and they should seek help. That's my thoughts on that, Haba responded. I hope they go to church and pray on that or whatever they pray to, because I don't hold hatred like that towards anybody, frankly. You know, unless you're brown or black or libtard.
I'm just looking for justice to be done. And if you defraud the fine people of the state of New York, the United States of America, to the tune of $500 million, and you get caught, then you should probably have to pay it back. I mean, what's that got to do with hate?
Well, Dom, let's talk about the follow-up question from Martha McCallum and the very Ron Johnson, I don't want to talk about that sort of response from Alina Haba. Is there any effort to secure this money through another country, Saudi Arabia, Russia, McCallum asked? Well, there's rules and regulation that are public. I can't speak about strategy. That requires certain things, and we have to follow those rules.
What?
I think everything is done intentionally. I do not doubt that the witch hunt, the election interference goal, is that was ringing steady and loudly and true throughout all these trials, frankly, and we're seeing it, it's the demise of our country, not the demise of Trump. So we'll handle it as we always have and keep our heads up and keep working hard. Bake sale on Sunday. See you there. What are you doing, a car wash? What's your plan at this point? Either he's got the money or he's getting it from some, what, oligarch in the third world. Or the second or first world, whatever the case may be. But it's
whatever. Whatever. Maybe it'll be his lover from North Korea. You know, I mean, who knows?
You think Kim Jong-un's got that kind of cash laying around?
I don't know, man.
967-27.
How much do nuclear weapons cost? Yeah, they could sell a couple of those.
Nukes. Do you think Trump's got any nukes back at the Mar-a-Lago in the spare bathroom? You think he declassified the nukes and took them with just in case he needed to sell something else later?
Well, he declassified them in his mind.
844-967-2789. Can't wait till we get another legal eagle on this big show, Dom. The Eileen Cannon is, you know, apparently considering some of these legal rationales of the Trump team, or at least is giving them hearing, right? And there are many smarter legal people than you or I that think she's maybe crossed the line and maybe Jack Smith should try to get her ousted by the 11th Circuit, maybe move on from this tomfoolery where a federal judge is putting her thumb on the scales of justice because she is Trump's only defense in that trial. If she doesn't delay it, if she doesn't kick it, Trump's going to prison for that one.
Trump's got all sorts of problems because Trump does lots of criming.
99 problems. Eileen Cannon ain't one. 844-967-2789. Have you heard him complain about her whatsoever, Trump? Any complaints about Judge Cannon?
Nope.
Every other one?
Cannon, yes.
All of them.
Yes. Chuck Cannon. I mean, come on. We're sitting here making a game out of here. It's like the Trump game. Name the judges in Trump's cases.
There's a lot of them. I can't. That's what we got. That's why we got Jim Santel in the Rolodex. 844-967-2789. You should put that one in the Rolodex and use it right now, like Wisco Paul did. Welcome to the show, Paul. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Actually, Johnson should not be senator with what he did with the fake electors, but that's a story for another day. I don't know where Josh Call is on all this stuff, but I think as far as Trump goes, this is just my opinion, he's going to start funneling from the taking money, actually, or figuring out a way to take it from the GOP. And
they got no money, Paul.
Yes.
You can't take blood from a turnip, man. Less than $9 million cash on hand, and they had debts of like $5 million. The national RNC is freaking broke, Paul.
Oh, man, they're going to even be broker with Trump, because if anything they got left, he's going to take from them. It's just the way it is. So that's just my opinion. Or he's going to steal it from. No, he can't steal anything anymore. You're right. He's going to get it from an oligarch.
I guarantee he's still working hard at grifting, man. If he can grift, grifter's got to grift, Wisco.
Well, you know, there's value, Paulie, and thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great night. There's value in, you know, the nation's secrets. I mean, why would a guy like Trump hoard all this stuff? Because he knows there's value to it. So, you know, what's the chance? So he had his buddy from Hungary coming in the other day, right? He's got Paul Manafort in the wings. Now, the whole band's getting back together, and Trump's got, you know, a lot of these secrets.
Viktor Orban, I think, is the bandmate you're referencing. The
Orban.
Co-dictator in want. Dom, last story for the day. This one's going to break some hearts. Trump's campaign cash crunch. Small dollar donor fatigue. Major donor hesitation. You know, Trump's campaign is also broke, at least relative to Joe Biden's campaign. Donald Trump's reelection campaign has begun to see warning signs that the small dollar donors who fueled his last run for the White House have slowed their support to the former president this year. Since late last year, members of Trump's team have warned by Republican Party advisors that their small dollar donor base could be shrinking, said the sources, who were granted anonymity. Some have even been told there may not be that much the former president or his campaign can do to win back these key donors. A drop in the Trump small dollar contributors could be significant as the former president faces a well-funded incumbent. I'm looking for the percentages, Dom. Way down. Here it is. 2023, last year, Trump's re-election campaign raised 63% less money from small dollar donors than it did in 2019. Down 63%. That's not going to make you bond worthy. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, everyone. Do it again on Thursday.